Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Goalie Science, the podcast that bridges the gap between goaltending, science, and peak performance. I'm your host, Jamie Phillips, a former professional goalie, currently pursuing a doctorate in physical therapy and specializing in goalie performance coaching. Joining me as always is Dr. Ben Cernik, a seasoned goalie coach and sports analytics specialist. Whether you find yourself at home, on the road, or at the rink, grab a cup of your favorite beverage and let's drop the puck on this week's episode.
Hello, everyone. This week, it's just me. It's Ben here. No, Jamie. Turns out it's pretty difficult to try and coordinate schedules sometimes, especially as we get towards playoff pushes in hockey, some of Jamie's own other work. And then I guess kind of tryout season, which is always right around the corner, right behind playoffs too, which makes me a little bit sad, but I understand that's how we do it in a lot of places, especially in North America, where we have those tryouts right after playoffs. So you got to be nice and stressed for playoffs, and then immediately maybe a little bit nice and stressed for tryouts as well. But we're not going to talk about that today. So instead, we're going to have a chance, and I say we, I'm going to have a chance to talk to you about something that I'm seeing more and more lately and something that I think needs to be talked about, which is a practice habit check-in. And I think that's especially important for goalies right now as we're getting in to the playoffs, or we're in the playoffs, or depending where you live, kind of getting towards the end of the season. And then good habits as we get towards tryouts as well, and things that are important for team practices and own personal training. And so this is something that's near and dear to my heart for those who have been listening for a long time, and for those who maybe don't know. A lot of the work that I do is in hockey practice. A lot of the research we do is evaluating hockey practice and what that needs to look like and how we can optimize it. But obviously, as a goalie and a goalie coach, I care a lot about the behaviors of goalies within a practice, right? Because we can set up a perfectly designed practice, and that doesn't mean anyone, players or goalies, are going to take full advantage of it. So today, this is going to be just a brief little monologue of me talking about what I consider three really important principles to goalie practice, and then I have three examples of types of drills and how I would maybe want to maximize that, at least how I would want to see the goalies that I'm working with maximize it. But right off the bat, I think there's three important principles that we need to understand as a goalie when we're in a team practice. So the first thing that's really valuable is to, and I call this the first principle, which is understanding what's realistic, especially for giving up goals in a practice versus what we would see in a game, right? So we think about flow drills where you're going to see a ton of shots. Pucks are going to go in. Even if you're going 100% effort, playing everything as perfectly realistic as you can, just based on the sheer number of shots and sheer amount of volume, you're going to let in goals. So I think that's an important thing to understand. In whatever drill you're doing, understand what your performance should and what you would want it to look like in a perfect scenario. So I'll give an example. If we're doing a drill where the player comes in and they're required to shoot, you know, just inside the blue line. Now, there's not a lot of drills that do that, but there are some where coaches are asking players to take one or two steps inside the blue line and take a shot as part of the drill. In that situation, as a goalie, you should want to try to be pretty close to perfect. And again, obviously you want to always be perfect. You want to make every single save or on every single shot you face, but that's just not realistic. So that's what we're talking about, is this realistic approach. So in this drill idea where the player is stepping right over the blue line, we, as a coach and as a goalie, we would expect and want you to be pretty close to perfect on those, because those are types of shots in a game that you can't let in the game. You can, and they will go in, and there'll be screens and there'll be other things. But a straight shot from distance, that's something as a goalie that we would take a lot of pride in and being perfect or as close to perfect with. So in that situation, you know, that's a drill where we're like, okay, I, as a goalie, am going to be proud of every save I make here. I'm going to watch every puck here. I'm going to make every save. Take it in a completely different way. We do a continuous 2-on-0 drill, right? This is the part where as a goalie, you need to take a step back and not let yourself get frustrated when goals go in on a continuous 2-on-0 drill, or a continuous 3-on-0, or a continuous 3-on-1. Any of these higher danger drills that involve players having more time and more space and just more dangerous shots, we can't go into that drill making the expectation for us that we have to stop every puck. We want to stop every puck, and that is our goal. Our goal is to be perfect. But if one goes in, if two goes in, if three goes in a row even, we can't let ourselves get frustrated by that. And I say that now, but I know that when I was playing, and this is when I was playing at boarding school, and so this is almost 12, 13 years ago now. But I remember doing a drill with a goalie coach at a goalie session where it was essentially in zone 3-on-0. And I distinctly remember letting in a couple goals in a row and being super frustrated. I was really frustrated with what I thought that type of drill was. I didn't like that drill, obviously. I didn't love an in zone 3-on-0. It felt wrong to me from a goalie perspective. But there's value in that sort of thing. And I see that a lot more now, right? So for example, in that 3-on-0 drill, I could have taken an approach where I said, okay, I'm going to try to hold my feet for as long as possible. I'm going to try not to slide until I absolutely have to in this drill. And I don't care if I get scored on as much, because I'm practicing something that's valuable, which is the skill of holding your feet on tight plates, which is hard to do. But I didn't look at it that way. I didn't have it communicated to me that way. And so that's why I'm here now on this mini solo episode podcast to say that the first principle that you need as a goalie in a team practice is understanding what's realistic of you in that drill. Because if you're going to get frustrated at continuous 2-on-0, at continuous 3-on-1, whatever that drill looks like, you're in for a long hockey career, because these are things that will be used at different levels, at different ages. Drills like this will continue to exist in hockey. I don't really see them going away. They've existed for a long time, and I see them happen every week as a goalie coach. And so they're here to stay, at least for now. And so understanding what you can get out of that and understanding what is realistic is really important. That same thing extends to a drill that's essentially a bunch of breakaways, or even a game like 5-puck or 10-puck at the end of practice. As a goalie, if we're 60, 70, maybe probably a little bit above on percent on breakaways, that's a great result. So that means if you're playing 5-puck and you stop 15 breakaways, but you give up those 5 goals, you've still done a really great job. And so that frustration around those goals going in, we need to take that step back and look at it from a wider lens, a bigger perspective of how can you realistically make progress in a drill that's really hard for you as the goalie. And the first thing comes from, again, what is that expectation that you need to place on yourself during that drill? So that's the first principle that I wanted to talk about. Understand the realistic aspects of the drills you're dealing with. Understand what's realistic for saves that you're going to make in that drill, for goals that could go into that drill. Also understand how much energy you can kind of put into that drill, but we'll talk about that more later. But principle number two, when we're in a team practice, it is a great opportunity to work on parts of your game that you are working on with your goalie coach, or that you've identified in your own game that you want to work on, maybe through video with yourself, or if you're working with a goalie coach, you know, maybe something that you're working on with a goalie coach. And so what I mean by that is, when we're training as goalies, if we are training in a goalie session, right, we're working with our goalie coach. Jamie and I have talked about this a lot. There's, you know, it's not 5-on-5, it's not 5-on-4, it's typically the goalie coach, couple shooters maybe, and the goalie. So we have minimal team defense. We have a non-realistic offense. So that style of training, while it's really valuable to work on things, is pretty far away from applying it into a game setting, right? So a game and then a goalie training session on this continuum of hockey are pretty far away. They're a lot more far away than a team practice is to a game. So that team practice is that middle ground between your goalie training session and your game. And so if you've been working on something with your goalie coach, or again, like you've identified on your own, that practice is a great opportunity to try to get reps on it. Think about this. If you're a goalie that's trying to change glove positioning, maybe you're working on following a player with smaller shuffles as they cut across. Those are all things that you can apply at faster speeds with more reps in a team practice setting. But you just have to be prepared to go in with that mindset that you're working on that. And it ties back in with that first principle where you might get scored on a little bit more if you're trying something, right? But it allows you to bridge from that goalie training session or that maybe what we call a more non-representative training setting, get you closer towards the game. So if you're working on something with the goalie coach and then not bringing it into your team practices, you're going to have a really hard time bringing it in to your team games. It's not impossible. We can obviously make changes in a goalie training session and immediately go and implement them in a game. I'm not saying that we can't do that. I'm just saying that that team practice setting is a great place, a great opportunity for you as a goalie to take that mindset and that approach and put it into team practice. Again, a lot of drills, a lot of team practices, goalies are saying, well, this isn't for me. You know, this isn't shots I get in the game. And I agree. I'm with you. I think there's a lot of drills that are not great for goalies, whether it's too much involvement for a goalie or not enough involvement. I think that happens all the time. That doesn't mean that you can't have some of your own accountability in your team practices where you can work on some stuff. And that's really important. So principle number two is take opportunity to bridge the gap between goalie training or identified video stuff all the way into a game. Be your own bridge and allow yourself to work on those things. In that same vein, that third principle, which kind of really just builds on, so maybe it's more of a 2A, 2B situation. But again, practice is a great time to try something new, something that we've been working on, like I just said, or something that you might want to experiment with, right? Something maybe it's like, okay, I want to see today what happens if I play a little bit deeper. I want to see what happens today if I play really aggressive and what changes I have to make. Now, this approach might not be as helpful right now in playoffs where it's like, maybe we probably shouldn't be overly experimenting with new things. But again, in team practices, you have this opportunity where, again, if that goal goes in, a player might celebrate, coach might cheer, team might cheer a little bit sometimes. You might be frustrated, but it doesn't go on the scoreboard. It doesn't really matter. The only people who care are the people who decide to care about it in that moment. So you can have that free reign to experiment and try to get something out of it, right? Maybe you're a goalie who on rush plays typically has been really aggressive and has a controlled retreat or a controlled back end as that player approaches. Again, the classic example of a goalie who's really aggressive on rush plays is UC Saros. He backs in quite a bit, so he's very aggressive to start with. On the complete other side of it, we have people like Connor Hellebuck and Joseph Wall who are very deep on rush plays. They basically don't even really leave their blue ice on two-on-ones. So maybe you want to try one of those two options. Maybe think about, okay, I don't like how I'm playing two-on-ones, and guess what? We have a two-on-one drill. That's a great time for me to be able to experiment with something that I want to try and make changes, right? So it's not dissimilar from that second principle, right? So maybe this is a 2A and a 2B situation, but it is this opportunity that you can play around with stuff and have fun with it, because forcing yourself to play something differently is going to have to make you adapt. And so you can kind of put your own constraint on your approach by doing that. On the other end of the spectrum, you can try to be ultra consistent with your approach. Let's say, again, maybe this is more appropriate for right now in the playoff period or as we're preparing for playoffs here. Maybe your goal is that I'm going to be consistent with my approach. So we're going to do a flow drill, but I'm going to ensure that I start on my goal line, middle of my net. I challenge out really quickly for every shot, and then I get right back to the middle of my net to reset. So maybe that's a little bit more work, but your approach wants to be, I want to get off that goal line fast, get out and get set quick. I'm going to be super consistent, or I'm going to be extra dialed in today where I'm going to watch every puck off my body, up my body, off my pads, into the corner. Even if it goes in, my head's watching that puck all the way. And that's something that Jamie and I have talked lots about, something that we've had Derek Bougie on the podcast to talk about before as well, with things like playing around, maybe sitting on your deeper in your net to track pucks early in a practice, something we say all the time. But it's important to understand in those settings that we're still providing that effort, right? If we're using that deeper tracking approach that we've talked lots about here in the podcast, where let's say, you know, it's a repeated flow drill and you're getting a ton of shots, you know, you're maybe getting 2-3 shots every 10 seconds that fast, maybe we're going to play a little bit deeper because it's unrealistic otherwise to make all those saves and get around, because we'll lose our positioning. But we still need to have that effort, right? Okay, so maybe I'm not going to go down in the first two shots, but I'm going to watch that puck. I'm going to crisply get to my next spot for that second puck. But we still need to see that effort, right? Just if we're playing things unrealistically or not game realistically, doesn't mean we're not bringing that effort. Doesn't mean we're not bringing that intensity. Doesn't mean we're not bringing that purpose. There really needs to be a purpose to everything we're doing in practice, right? Getting something out of that practice. Otherwise, you're just on the ice. And while it's great to be there, and sometimes, you know, sometimes the purpose is just fun. Sometimes the purpose is just making saves, having a good time, especially for our younger goalies. But as we get older, as we get more competitive, there needs to be that purpose, that internal drive that you bring as a goalie to those team practices. So those are the principles that I think are really important that I found myself considering more and more important for goalies during practice. So again, understanding what is realistic for that drill? How do I maximize that in that drill? Making sure I take advantage of times to work on parts of my game that I'm working on in practice, and then be able to experiment, try something new, try something different, try something you normally wouldn't do, see how you like it. Because again, it's practice that is the opportunity to practice something new, to experiment with something new. And so where I want to kind of finish off with this is I said that I think about these principles as I approach different types of drills. So let's look at drill number one, which I think is a classic warm-up or flow drill, where you have players at all four blue lines. They do some sort of pass, some sort of skate. Player comes in for a shot on one side, comes in, takes the shot. You know, 5 seconds later, player from the other side. It's that continual warm-up drill. You can think of maybe even something like Canada Cup, which, come to think about it, I wonder if that has a different name in other countries. But the Canada Cup flow drill, where it's essentially three players get involved, but it's player picks a puck out of the corner, passes it to player two. Player two curls, hits player three, who curls, player three comes in, shoots, and they go continue the drill, and they restart it over and over again. So that flow drill. In that drill, right, it's not very realistic for a goalie, right? So it's not a real breakaway, but it's not a real defended shot. There's no defense. The player's only coming down the same side of the ice all the time. There's a lot of parts to it that don't make it super realistic. So how do we get something out of it, right? The classic answer that I always say is I always say play a little bit deeper, track every puck, try to make every save, but don't worry about it if it goes in, right? That modification for us is we're going to get better at tracking by forcing ourselves to have to make further saves and identify the puck earlier, because we're not at the top of our crease taking away the net. So the net is bigger relative to our body. So we need to pick up more information from the player, their hands, their hips, their body positioning as they shoot that release, so that we can try and make that save, because we're not just blocking as much space, right? So that's an example of getting something out of it. But at the same time, right, that might be working on our tracking. So our principle two is we're working on something. We're going to work on our tracking, improve our tracking. Right. In the same vein, we need to understand that a drill like this where players are coming in and they're probably shooting from below the top of the circles into the slot, that's a really good shot. A really good shot location. So that might mean that we're going to get scored in a little bit. And we're going to get scored in a little bit more, especially if we're playing deeper. That's okay. Right? If we're playing deeper, we're working on that tracking. We're less concerned with the pucks not going in. We're more concerned with our approach to how we're trying to approach every shot. Right? Let's say you're this is a practice before a game. You don't want to do that. You want to try and make every save today. You're going to have to go out top of that crease, play it realistically, maybe starting that goal line every time, get out and get that good challenge, start where you want to start, be aggressive where you want to play, but understand that that puck might go in, you know, 2 out of 10 times. And if that player comes in and dekes and goes for that breakaway, if you're trying to play that straight up, you need to be backing in with that player as they approach for that, right? That's something to consider with how you're approaching that drill as well. Make it what you want to make it, but understand your purpose and your goal from it and how you would modify it to match that goal. And that can be hard sometimes, which is why on flow drills, I tend to recommend more of treat that as a tracking warm-up, treat that as having really good eyes so that when we get into more realistic drills, you're ready to go. But I also see goalies who really want to get high-quality reps on flow drills right away. And so whatever approach that is, again, understand what's realistic and then understand how you can work on what part of the game or whether it's being consistent or trying something new. When we get into drills that are a lot more game realistic, things like, again, if we're still in that flow drill vein, we're looking at rush plays, 2-on-1s, 3-on-1s, 3-on-2s, 1-on-1s, any of those rush plays that are scary in games, they're good opportunities. That's when you have your opportunity to be really consistent. But again, understanding what's realistic, right? If it's a 2-on-1, a repeated 2-on-1 drill, for example, they are going to score on that drill. Pucks will go in. It's a 2-on-1. It's a good chance if the players are doing it properly, right? But there's parts in that that you have to approach seriously, right? Those are the types of drills that personally, I think goalies should be giving their 100% game realistic effort on, because those are the plays that are big in games, right? They're a high danger chance in a game, which means they, on average, just have a better chance of going in, right? Especially as goalies get older, we know you're going to make that distance save, right? You don't need to work on distance saves in practice nearly as much because you're going to make that. So you need to maximize your intent, your purpose, and your approach to those higher danger saves, those higher danger shots that we see in drills like 2-on-1s. So those are the types of drills where, again, maybe we're going to work on our starting position. Maybe our approach is, okay, I'm going to start deeper today. I'm going to see what it's like to play 2-on-1s without a retreat, right? Start deeper in my net. Maybe my toes are just outside the crease and that's it. I'm not any more aggressive than that. But also, if, you know, they score a double backdoor goal because my defender falls, I don't get upset and let myself get distracted from the next play and the next save, especially in practice, because something goes in or because maybe a forward isn't taking it as serious as you want to take it. They're playing around with the puck and they're going slow and they're not treating it realistically, right? We don't let ourselves get bogged down by that, be held up by that. We approach that next play as realistic as we can. Because again, I think that's where we maximize our ability to improve, is practicing effortfully, purposefully, and with intent. And so one last thing to kind of wrap this up is I see a lot of goalies who are at practice and their team is working on things like breakouts, penalty kills, power plays, a lot of breakouts, maybe even neutral zone play, where there's not a lot of work for the goalies. And I agree. So this is not in a perfect situation. It isn't. But that's okay. It's a part of team practice. So what your job is as a goalie is to engage and understand exactly what's going on so that you can explain it to your teammates if they ask you, so that you can explain it and understand where the issues can come from in your system, where plays can break down, where if the other team was doing this to you, let's say working on neutral zone, if the other team was doing neutral zone things, where would they be getting the seams in the attack through? Understand what we can learn to better improve ourselves for a game, right? Like, for example, understanding your own neutral zone defensive system is really important to understand where the soft spots are on the ice, where breakaways can develop, where 2-on-1s can develop, where a chip off the boards can lead to a soft area play where a high danger chance emerges from, right? If you don't understand the systems that your team is playing in front of you, then you're going to have a hard time. So I think those are really important, especially as you get older, higher levels, is being a leader and understanding all of your team's systems. So don't just skate away from the board when the coach is explaining it, and don't just shoot the puck into your own net over and over again when a coach is breaking something down in front of the team. It's your advantage to learn and understand that. One of the other things that I think is critical in these types of drills is you should be the loudest communicator on every single rep. If your team is doing a breakout drill, a penalty kill drill, whatever it looks like, you should be communicating with your players every single rep like you would want to communicate with them in a game. Communication is so important. It's something that pretty much every elite level goalie does, but it's not enough minor hockey junior goalies do. They're not loud enough. We're not communicating enough. It's something that we can improve all around. If you become a great communicator, players are understanding what's happening because you're helping them, they'll also become better communicators. There is that relationship, right? You can set the tone as the goalie there in drills where you might not be getting shots. You might not be directly involved, right? Treat those drills as an opportunity for learning for yourself, to better understand the game, to understand strengths and weaknesses, but also for you to practice your communication, get involved, be a bit of a leader in those situations. There's a lot of value in that. And I just am tired of goalies skating around shooting pucks under their own net when coaches are talking during breakout drills. Don't do it. Listen up. It's kind of the same thing. If your team is also, this is a side note, but if your team's getting yelled at, or if your team is, coaches are breaking something down, don't be the goalie that's slamming into posts and doing these footwork patterns that are carving up the ice while everyone else is stopped and listening, right? Be a part of the team. We at Goalie Science here always talk about how goalies are on a bit of an island, but the first step to not being on that island is to make yourself a bigger and clearer part of the team in all capacities, right? So coaches and organizations and systems need to be better and more inclusive with goaltenders. That's something that for sure needs to happen. But again, us as goaltenders, we can take some of that accountability. We can take some of that leadership to be involved and to make our role broader and at least more seen. So that's all I want to talk about today. Just a quick 25-minute episode here where I think these are some important approaches to practice that will better maximize your team practices. If you're a goalie that is on a team that has amazing team practices, that's awesome. I'm super happy for you. That's a great opportunity for you to just keep working, keep doing what you're doing. But if you're on a team and you're the goalie where you think, man, I don't get a lot of work, it's just not a very good practice for you. Or you're the goalie who gets 500 shots in practice. There's a middle ground to all of this where we can maximize our effort, maximize our approach for us to get better. And hopefully, some of these principles, some of these approaches, and some of these examples can be a little bit helpful if you're finding yourself maybe a little bit frustrated one way or the other in understanding why we're doing something, right? If you're at a team that does a lot of scrimmaging and it's just too much of that, again, we can't control those situations as goalies, just like we can't control the play in front of us in games. We can't control how many goals our team scores. We can't control if we decide our defender wants to take the person in front of the net or not. That's out of our control. We, as goalies, have to react to the environment and have to maximize each opportunity we get. And so hopefully this approach can be helpful for some people. As always, if people have questions, they can reach out to myself or Jamie. Typically on Instagram is the best way to find us. You can find our information down in the show notes. I would also be remiss to not give Jamie his weekly plug. So if you're interested in getting more goaltending content than just Jamie's YouTube, Jamie's Instagram, he does have a Patreon. You can go subscribe. I have no idea how much it costs because I don't make any money off it whatsoever, but he's posting content all the time from goalie training to game breakdowns. And there's a lot of valuable information over on his Patreon site. So it's Jamie Phillips on Patreon. You should definitely go check it out. If you're interested in talking about team practice and how to design practices that are more inclusive for goalies, if you're a coach listening to this all the way to the end, you can always reach out to me. I'm happy to discuss drills that better incorporate goaltenders, because I promise you, drills that are better for goalies are drills that are better for the whole team. And hopefully we'll have some research on that in the future. But for now, everyone, thank you as always for listening. Next week, Jamie and I will be back together. This won't be a solo episode series anymore. And we'll get back to talking about all the important things that you love to hear about with goaltending. All right, everyone, take care.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.